Hi. Hello.
What's happening?
Hi. My brain's not working today.
Oh, yeah. Stop it, stop it. What you mean your brain's not working? Carla, guys, everybody, Carla is like extremely focused right now. So she's been using all her brain power to like just get shit done. And she
Honestly,
fully
I've been
focused.
editing for the
Diet,
past
plan,
3 hours.
running,
I'm just
editing, filming, shooting, going
Whew.
out, jogging, healthy. Carla's on that like that bad bitch regimen.
Thank
Carla's like,
you.
yo, the power is in my hands, and I'm gonna mold this fucking universe how I please. So
The
that's the vibes. That's why Carla's a little tired, but that's because Carla's like,
vibes.
putting that work in. Fully focused.
Hi to everyone. Welcome, new listeners. I'm Carla.
It's your boy Josh.
And welcome to WTF Latin X.
Stop. Where Carla, my amazing co-host,
Yes, thank you.
discuss. Carla, what do we discuss on here?
So today's episode is going to be Random Rant. If you don't know what a random rant is, every odd episode, instead of focusing specifically on one topic, we rant about a topic with no research because we're tired. Well, actually, I researched for this one, but we just like we go a little bit more in depth than we usually would about what we think about things. And today's episode, what's today's topic?
That's my little drum roll. But today's topic is I don't know what, I don't want to call it hookah culture.
Why not? I like
Now
it.
nah, you know what we're gonna call it hookah culture.
Wow.
Crazy, right? Yeah, shut up.
So
Shut up for a second.
innovative, so creative.
Guys,
Ladies
this
and
is
gentlemen,
like
that's the artist between the
so we're not scripted, you know?
both of
The worst part is whenever I have those little brain farts, Carla's not gonna edit them out because she'd be
Nope,
laughing.
I enjoy them.
Yeah, it's just funny as shit. They just stuttered.
But yeah, so today we're doing hookah culture because it's such a huge thing.
Hookah culture?
No, you see, the good thing about editing is I can remove that. Haha. Yeah, I think we were talking about recently how big like hookah lounges and like hookah culture is in like the Latinx community, at least like in recent times. Literally, I remember being like around one when I turned 18 and like I start college. Suddenly, like the hangout spots, there was always someone that had one, right? And I was like, what's that? And I feel like it's such a recent new thing in Latin culture because when we were younger, right, Josh, that wasn't a thing. Especially
Bro,
like
bro.
a Latino household, you have beers, you have every single type of alcohol, but nothing to smoke. You had like that cousin that would like hide away to
Maybe.
smoke, but like,
Smoke cigarettes, maybe.
but not an actual like hookah product thing, which is also named shisha. That's the actual original name, and then I don't know how I ended up being named hookah, but shisha is the original Indian name.
No. You know what? It's funny, just to kind of go back to what you were talking about. Growing up early like 2000s, you brought that shit to my attention. It's like when I sit down and really think about it, the first time I ever saw a hookah was maybe like 2009. And
Not even.
that's only because where I moved, there's a I don't know what they are. I know they're Middle Eastern. There's a Middle Eastern family, and they would have gatherings in their front yard,
Was
and
it like
they'd
a
just be
bodega? Oh no, so it was just like a family reunions and stuff.
yeah, like literally right down the street. My neighbors, they're Middle Eastern. They have a beautiful front yard, and ever since I can remember living here, they've always smoked hookah. But aside from them, I never grew up seeing like Dominicans or Puerto Ricans smoking hookah. I never like you said, it wasn't a thing. Like parties now, you go to a function, everybody's got the hookah,
Yeah, so the
and
first time I
everybody
literally
has it.
saw one was 2016.
Word.
I didn't even know it existed until like 2016.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even know the name, bro. I'm just like, oh, that's the smoking thing. That's what, and I've always associated it with Middle Eastern culture. It's always like, yeah.
That's, I didn't. Like, that's cool. I went to like house parties, and there'd be a dembow and like a dome in the background and a hookah, and it's just like, why is everyone sucking from the same thing? And I was like, is that even like hygienic? Like, what's
Carla's over here like, yo, I know that shorty Vanessa. Vanessa be Vanessa something else.
That's dirty. Yeah, but I don't really understand. And there's like rules to this thing. Like, you have to have your own, like, I call it bidillo, yep. But I don't know what the name is. But your little thing that you connect so you can smoke from it. Everyone has like their individual one, so you don't touch the same thing. But you're smoking the same smoke.
But you're inhaling. You're not like pushing the smoke back in.
No. It has like a system that doesn't allow the like air to go back in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, you inhaling from your own little, your own manguera, you cooling.
It's just crazy that so much has changed. Like, I don't know, like, remembering Carla from like 2016, who just like just introduced to it, and now I just think it's so normal. Like, if my friends want to hang out in a hookah lounge and like you just sit outside and do it as a like social activity. Isn't that crazy? Like, it is a social activity. It's like going out to the movies, going out to a hookah lounge.
Bro, going to the hookah lounge is the new form of going out to the bar to drink.
Yeah, it is. People don't even drink like they used to. Like, if you tell Latinos specifically, I don't know about other cultures, but if you tell Latinos specifically, yo, there's a get-together in my place, there's drinks, they're like, eh. Now, if you tell them, yo, there's a get-together in my house, there's hookah, bro, they arrived there an hour early.
Bro, not even. Sometimes the first question that you get is like, oh, well, you have a function?
Hookah? And then if you say no, they don't want it.
No. It's either, oh, you don't have one? Yo, I'm going to bring my shit. But yo, you got to buy the carbon.
Oh, yeah. And everyone split up. Just like, you know how like one of our previous episodes was the barbecue, like family function etiquette? Just how people have to split the food. Now people have to split the hookah ingredients. Yo, I'll bring the actual hookah, but then someone has to bring the flavor, and then someone has to bring a carbón.
Bro, uno siempre, you always got that one friend. Yo, yo tengo la hookah, pero la manguera mía está dañada.
Yeah.
So you gotta, pero si tú tienes la manguera tuya, so yeah, fuck with that one, because that should be pulling.
But then, that's what I'm saying. It's just so crazy that we went from, like, an alcohol-driven, like, society in a sense to like smoke.
I feel at least over here, at least
at least in this area. But I know it's really popular. Like when I recently traveled to, oh my god, what is it called? Florida. I recently traveled to Florida, and that's just like a regular like eating restaurant, like eating and dancing. And then they had the hookah section. They had like the family area, and then they had the hookah area. All under one roof.
But it's just so bugged out. It's like,
and they had like the dance floor area, the family eating area, and the hookah area.
It's crazy how commercial and mainstream it feels now. Because it used to feel like a taboo. Like, oh, yo.
That's the thing. It's like,
you have to whisper it like yo, because if your mom
still is, because your parents can know. Yeah, because our parents think that like it's cocaine or something.
Oh no, Dominicans hate that shit. Eso es el diablo. That shit is like, at least not, I wouldn't say younger Dominicans, but like the older heads.
Yeah, the parents and the grandparents.
That shit is for the devil. It gives you cancer, destroys your lungs. If you start smoking hookah, you're gonna start doing drugs.
Yo, I got a story time. So this isn't my story. This is like I heard of someone else, but I don't want to put them in the spot. So.
Oh no, I got a little antidote too.
So there's this person that I know, right? And he does it, and you know, like, this is why I'm solving my suspension. He's like a grown-ass adult, but obviously he doesn't put it on social media and stuff, so his family and DR don't find out. And I guess someone snitched at some point. Someone snitched at some point and showed his parents like the video of him doing it. So he might have put it like on Snapchat and something. And then some of the cousins were like, yo, mira lo que está haciendo tu hijo. Oh my God. See, Mira lo que está haciendo tu hijo.
Special guest.
I'm sorry, my mind just came in. I'm so distracted. Mira lo que está haciendo tu hijo. Y his dad pulled him to the side when he went to visit. And he's like, yo, they showed me what you were doing, that you were smoking hookah. And he was like, me? What? Never. I would never do that. He's like, tú sabes que son el diablo. I didn't raise you like this. I can't believe you become such a delinquent. I just want the best for you.
That's my favorite line.
Yeah, yeah. I just want the best for you. Please don't do it. Blah, blah, blah. And that's how his parents found out.
Yo, that's foul. How are you going to snitch on your own cousin?
And he was like, yo, his father.
You worked at Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah, honestly, his parent gave him the speech like he would have just found out that he was doing heroin or something like that.
Ooh,
he was just like, I raised you better than this. Why are you doing this? Did I fail you as a parent?
Bro, Latino parents, smoking hookah is almost like, it's almost like you killing somebody. It's just as bad. Yeah. I feel like it carries the same weight in their minds.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you smoking hookah? That's it. Your life is over. You've already dropped out of college.
You're not going to be successful. What's it called? The entry drug?
Bro, it's a gateway. It's a gateway drug.
Gateway drug. Yeah.
Gateway drug. It's not even a drug, mind you. It's tobacco, but it's a gateway drug to destroying the rest of your life.
To
sin. To sin. To debauchery. To hell. Basically, yo, you placing your lips on that hookah is like you giving your soul to the devil.
Basically, literally, that's what it is for, like, Latino parents. So, I just, like, I never forget that because, obviously, he's a grown-ass adult with an education, a job. Like, he's a good son and, like, person. But in his parents' eyes?
You know what's funny, though? It kind of, like as we were watching the video on the history of, like, hookah, it's crazy how misinformed our culture is.
Absolutely. Okay, so can I?
Yeah.
Okay. So before doing this episode, I'm like the information geek person human. Because I can't talk about something without actually knowing what I'm talking about. So it just makes me uncomfortable. So
I told Carla to start doing her Googles one time. And now
she does it every time. Yeah. Every time. There is this website called fumari.com, like fumar as in smoke. Fumari.com. Fumari.com, whatever. And I guess it's like a hookah store, like a wholesale thing. But
we can't be giving free promo out here.
Not sponsored. Well, okay, that's where I get the article. So.
Not sponsored, but if y'all trying to send us a free hookah and some flavors, we are more than willing to review your product.
Just said. They have like a whole article about the history of the hookah, and then it's like, this is something that has been, it's such a cultural and historical object that has been here since the 16th century. And I don't know why. Like, I just found out that a hookah existed in 2016. So the concept, the fact that this has been going on like 200 years after the Salem witch trials, it's just like kind of crazy to me. Because the Salem witch trials was in the 1400s. And then I'm doing the math wrong. Point being, it's been going on for a long time.
Do your Googles, B. Yo, we're gonna have to hire a little fact checking intern. We're gonna have him in the background. Boom, homeboy gonna be on the laptops. He's gonna be the Google god.
I'm doing my Googles right now. What is the 16th?
I'm just gonna stay quiet.
What is the 16th century in years? No, yeah, I was right. So the 16th century is from 1500 to 1600.
I bet.
So the witch trials were in the 1400s, and literally you have people having the witch trials and 200 years later, 100 years later, and in a lifespan, then you have this introduction of this product. And the reason why this product came to be was because at the time, India was very popular for their glass manufacturing. And it was created for noblemen in high society. It was very popular. And it was a staple of status. And because they had so much money, they couldn't have regular tobacco. No. They needed purified tobacco on water just to show off just how rich they were. They were like, you have the regular one, I'll have the pure one because I'm pure and rich.
So what you have to really analyze and look at, right, is that a peasant's going to smoke tobacco out of a leaf or smoke it out of a pipe.
Because you can't afford it. Yeah.
Me, nobility, I can afford to have the finest glass makers, the finest artisans to make me this beautiful, because I'm pretty sure these hookahs that the noblemen had.
Oh, yeah, made of gold and everything. Oh, absolutely.
Gold, glass, color. So it's like, it's a flashy-ass fucking
statement.
Yeah, it's like a statement piece. It's like, look at this beautiful hookah. And on top of that, I have the world's best tobacco to smoke.
Yeah. You know what's mind-blowing to me is, like, when I think of hookah, I think of a Dominican guy, like, driving down, like, New York with, like, a ta-ga-ta-ga-ta-ta-ga-ta-ga-ta on the Honda Civic.
A little cord, whipping the hookah, chilling in the passenger seat on the floor.
Yeah, the hookah, a huge hookah on the passenger seat, and they're just, like, driving downtown or whatever. That's what I picture when I picture a hookah. So the fact that it's coming from nobility, it's just, like, how did it go from nobility to, like, a Honda Accord? Backseat. Can we talk about that?
like, it is crazy, though. It's just crazy. It really started off as something super, like, you know, elegant and noble, and then over time it got the concept is still the same. Like, we're still using it for, you know, it's leisure.
For social bonding, yeah. And then the actual, like, hookah thing that was, like, the statement made of glass and all this thing. So its original name is shisha. So they would fill the shisha with water and purify it. That's about
it. It's funny because when you call the hookah piece shisha,
yeah,
I've heard people call the actual flavoring shisha.
So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
The video said that it was the actual thing. So I'm guessing... Because the tobacco didn't have flavor until later on. Remember?
You want to break that down? Because I thought that was really interesting. Because like I was telling you, like imagine having to smoke hookah with like another nobleman and you don't even like tobacco.
But you, wait. Let me explain that. So I guess we're going down the history lesson. So 16th century, it's in India. So that's around the 1500s.
Word.
17th century. It immigrates to Persia. It sounds like Porsche. Persia. Yeah. So the way that the shisha started kind of like traveling was through immigrants on like nearby countries. Mm-hmm. So it moves to Persia. And this is the first time that we actually see the hookah becoming accessible to, like, regular people. And this is the first time that we see hookah as a service. Like, you are paying people to prepare the hookah for you while you just chill with your homies.
We're talking, like, what, 17th century?
Yep, 17th century. Because, remember, it was for rich people. And then 100 years later, suddenly... Like, if you're, whatever, low, medium income, you can also afford a hookah. Obviously, it doesn't look as glamorous, but you can have one.
That just kind of like, ¿cómo te digo? I feel like we're always trying to aspire to be and act like we're noble and rich.
Yeah.
So I can see the peasants, so like, low. This is a, you know, intake those activities just to feel like.
Wait, you can see the peasants what?
I can see them like just trying to imitate those activities. You feel me?
I feel you. And then in the 18th century, they traveled to the concept of the hookah, of the shisha, traveled to Turkey, which is also smoked by high society. But this is where we start seeing that it becomes a part of the culture. And it's so important for socializing that you would usually smoke after a royal dinner or during diplomatic meetings. So you have these people of high power sitting down, smoking a hookah, and making decisions about, like, the population. Royalty, noblemen, diplomats of, like, other countries. These are the people that are using the hookah. It's so important and such a part of high society that if you were offered a hookah, and especially as a diplomat from somewhere else, if you were offered a hookah and you denied it, it was considered an insult to their culture.
You know what I just thought?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like America's version, or at least our version of hookah over here,
mm-hmm.
as like a status symbol, is smoking cigars and fine
mm-hmm.
cigars.
Mm-hmm. I see
and
that.
I feel like it essentially is like the same thing, because it's like you have these cigars that are worth $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and the tobacco is like grown in like, you know, these very rare regions of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something about smoking and like rich people. I don't know.
You see, I see it, but I don't see it because I don't. Maybe it's because I'm poor, but.
No, I don't understand why.
I think
why,
it's like I also think it's like an older generation thing, because I wouldn't see anyone in their 40s with a tobacco, you know, or 30.
Bro, it's.
But
it's
if old. Someone offers you a glass of like some really fancy wine or something.
Oh, I'm sipping that.
Yeah.
Yo, if you're giving me that 18th century Merlot that's been distilled in Italy for like the last 600 years.
Yeah.
Fucking barrels, blah, blah, blah.
Just think it's interesting that it would be considered an insult. So you were going to say something about that.
No, I forgot. I lost my train of thought. I'll catch it. Keep going.
Okay. So that was, what was that? 18th century. Then we go to 19th century. And this is when we start seeing the hookah culture continues to migrate to Israel, Pakistan, Armenia, and like the nearby,
I believe what else? Egypt?
Yeah. The nearby countries, including Egypt. And so Egypt is such a huge part of this like transition, because Egypt, for the first time, they reformulate the tobacco into a masal, which is written M-U-A-S-S-E-L. And they add honey into it, into the tobacco. They add honey to like sweeten the taste. And so this is also the first time that we start seeing that they add fruit or fruit extract to the tobacco. Fruits such as lemon, watermelon, grape, or mango. So then this is the first time when you have a mango shisha or hookah. And even though even though they're like updating it, or like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like giving it like a modern twist to how they taste, how it tastes, and like the quality, it's still being used in like that similar matter of like the hookah goes in the middle of the table, everyone sits around it, and it's a socializing method. As you smoke, you talk about your day, you talk with your business partners. It's almost like a conversation starter.
It is, though. It's like an icebreaker. It helps break the ice. It helps.
It is. Like,
it helps ease whatever tension's there. It helps you just kind of relax, chill, unwind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in Egypt, it was also one of the first places to create a hookah cafe, where just regular people just go, hang out, chill, have some hookah, just talk, and then go home.
Bro, I can't imagine smoking hookah in Egypt. You know how hot it is out there?
That's true. I'm dying to go, though. It's one of those places that I would love to travel to. So after hookah cafes were created, then this kind of like tradition continued to spread in the 19th century to every continent based on like immigrating people who were bringing their customs and their culture to share with in other countries.
I mean, that makes so much sense now.
It like, really does. So you were mentioning something about the DR.
When we were looking into the history, mm-hmm. and I think you had said something where you were like, how do Dominicans end up like embracing hookah culture? And I had like a flashback to when my mother was growing up, and she explained to me that she used to work with a lot of Arabics, with a lot of people from Alemania. And it just kind of clicked in my head. It's like, oh, those people are migrating from their countries to live in DR, but they're also bringing their customs and their traditions.
Yeah.
And like I was telling you, over time, I feel like the youth, because the older heads aren't fucking with that, obviously. No, but the youth in DR is picking up on that, and they're taking it.
The diversity. Growing up with people from different cultures, yeah.
Exactly. And then I feel like how it becomes even more, como te digo, ingrained into our cultures. Like, you have young Dominican men moving to you know, upstate New York, Dykeman. And you already know New York is, like, a hub for just, like, cool shit and fly shit. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Carla is the worst co-host. Yeah, I can't see what Carla's doing right now.
You know, I'm just making
so my theory, like I was breaking down to Carla, was like, yo, the young Dominican cats are like embracing that culture over there, and when dudes are migrating over here to the States, they're bringing it into the inner city, into our culture, you know, where we live.
I feel like that's how it
gains more traction over here. That's how it becomes more cool, because it's like you have young dudes, tu sabes, música urbana, dembow. Ow, that funny fly shit, and you're having a good time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it definitely makes a lot of sense, especially with the location of like the Caribbean and stuff. I can definitely see a lot of like Middle Eastern people moving into the Caribbean, and then the culture spreading, and then once they move to New York or the States in general, just like bringing all of that with them. Yeah. It just makes complete sense. It's just like regular migrations. It's just, but at the same time, it's so cool how we're all involved in this together. You know, it's
how we all kind of help the development of it. Because it's like, as it becomes more popular, you have more tools, you have more flavors, you have more people trying to turn this into a business.
Yeah. And it's pretty hard for me not to imagine like how things are now, you know? But yeah, so I got a little bit, the last bit of history, which is early in the 21st century. So early of the 21st century, that's when all of this starts arriving in New York and the U.S. especially. So it improves the quality. With technology, that's when they start improving the quality of the tobacco and the flavors.
Yeah,
so previously it was sweetened with honey, but then they start utilizing artificial stuff and that kind of stuff. Based on the demand. It's cool to have grape, but I want strawberry hookah.
Bro, or like strawberry kiwi, or like a mango strawberry, or a mango peach.
Oh, combinations, yeah.
And you have the combinations, bro. You get the good hookah flavors.
So they improved the quality of the hardware of the hookah, and then they utilized technology to improve on the flavors or the variety, like more variables.
That's right. Ultimately, that shit, like, it enhances the overall experience over time.
Yeah.
You know, you have a better time smoking hookah because it's more convenient.
And memories. Like, you remember the moments when you were, like, with people, surrounded by people using it and, like, having a good time.
Exactly. And it's crazy. I have home collections. Like, people really do collect hookahs. Wait. And people want to have the flyest hookah. You don't want to pull up to the function. Y'all got a hookah, and you pull up with a little, tu sabes, Dollar Tree hookah. This shit garbage looking. It's an ugly color. A man pulled up with a brown hookah with the. It's like, eh.
Yeah, today they have pretty crazy designs and pretty colors and just like sizes. Like I went into a store the other day just to check a price for a friend, and they wanted like a $50 one, but like the cheapest one that there was in the store was a $70 one that looks. It literally looked like something from like RoboCop or some stuff like it was just like huge and like future. Yeah, I was just like, what is this? Oh my god.
What?
But yeah. So the cool thing about the history of hookah, like knowing and understanding what a hookah is and like how is all of this related is that even though it's changed with time, like we still use it for the same purpose that it was created for, which is funny. You show respect, you show hospitality, like you have guests, you set up a hookah, and you bond with people and you communicate with family, you communicate with friends, and you guys can hear the people in the background. And provides hospitality, strengths, bonds, because it helps you, like, spend more time with people. And business associates. A lot of people use it to help, like, your business associates relax and just, like, have an overall good time. That's really what it was created for socializing.
It's beautiful that I could still maintain that same value. Like,
even though it's on that Honda Accord?
Even though it's in my Acura TL. You feel me? With the stock rims dropped, yeah. And I'm swerving. Hey. Beautiful, man.
But yeah,
you know
that's all I got out. For history.
You know, I was thinking of, it's bugged out. Like, I have friends, bro, that they've truly embraced that hookah culture. Like, they are the hookah guys. They are the flavor.
Oh, I know a couple. Yeah. I know two specifically that just came to mind.
It's bugged out to me how you can embrace something that's not even really part of your culture.
It becomes part of your culture, like
somehow, yeah. And you can't tell that person, yo, that's not part of your culture. It's like, nah, yeah, like no, this is me. Like, I'm the hookah dude. Like, this is what I do. Like
the hookah dude.
Do not tell me anything else. I am that hookah dude. I know everything about hookah. Da 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 da. And dudes take mad pride in that shit.
I just think it's funny how it's such a hospitality thing. So I recently visited some, not recently, but before Corona.
Yo, motherfuckers will offer you a hookah before they offer you a glass of water.
So, but wait, I'm heading towards that. So before Rona, I visited someone and we walk in, we're like, hey, like, what's up, blah, blah, blah. And the moment that we all sit down, they're like, oh, like, feel free to take drinks, whatever. Literally, like, I look at my phone for 2 minutes, and when I look up, the guy's already setting up the hookah in the center without nobody asking. He's like, I know y'all want it.
And y'all then, already know y'all
want it. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely with me. And if you say no, I know you learn.
Yeah. So it's just like, because we were guests, he just, like, he was ready. He had, like, everything to like set it up for us, if that makes sense. It's just like, and I don't know, it just really shows like how the youth, like, this is part of us socializing. Like, if you have guests, you have to set up a hookah, which is so crazy.
Bro, I was painting a mural a couple years ago, mm-hmm. And we're chilling, everybody got drinks, everybody
don't tell me someone pulled up with the hookah.
Bro, my man, I won't mention his name because, you know, he's real prolific in these streets. But my man pulled up with the purple hookah. He's like, yo, you trying to hit the hooks? Nigga had the hooks. Nigga had the dembo. I'm not going to lie, for the one time. Took a couple of rips.
That's so funny.
It was a good time, though. And then that shit made me realize, I'm like, yo, this hookah life is like, it don't matter what you're doing. Like, who's going to bring out the hookah?
It really doesn't. Dike, you on your way to the hospital, there's a hookah on the passenger seat. You going down to the beach, you going to a barbecue, you going to the mall, they have it ready for when they leave the mall. Like, it's just it's a lifestyle. It really is.
It is, though. Huge lifestyle.
But yeah, I don't.
What else you want to talk about? I know we were trying to keep this episode a little shorter
because the last one was super long.
Just because we don't want to, we don't want to like
overwhelm you guys. But yeah, I think that's all set. I think this was just like a little like history lesson on hookahs and just like how cool and crazy all of this is. If you smoke hookah, just know that it was created for noblemen, so you're a nobleman now or whatever. You're a rich like royalty.
And you're the queen. All my kings and queens out there smoking a hookah. You feel me? Feel proud,
Take pride in that. It's just so funny.
Don't let abuela,
they can send them the YouTube video. Do your Googles and really show them what's up. That is all for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. Welcome to WTF Latinx, the podcast where we talk about chancletas and culture and history and I don't know what he's saying. And socializing
and pastelitos and how Dominican.
Ooh, I want a pastelito. If you guys want to hear more from us, please go to our WTF Latinx Instagram and Twitter, and you can email us at WTFLatinx@gmail.com if you have any stories that you want to read from your family or anything funny like that. I would love to,
send us some letters, bro. Send us some fan mail, like anything. If you're really out there listening, come on. Yo, you know what?
Or ideas this week on social media.
This week, I need at least one email from a listener. If you're listening to this podcast and you've listened all the way to the end, I'm going to Cash App you personally $25. And I need
they have to email you a code. What's the code?
You have to email me the code. The code is, yo, that hookah was hitting.
You can just email that with that, and then he's going to Cash App your money.
Are we bribing people?
I don't think this is legal. Stop.
No, I'm not bribing people. I just want to see who's engaged, because it's like we have listeners. We have followers. I want to see who's actually listening all the way to the end. And if you listened all the way to the end, thank you. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And that's my thing.
Guys. I'm going to shut you up before we get, sued or something. Bye, guys.
We're not getting sued. You crazy?